And up here, we are kicking off a new series we're calling Profound Prayers, where we're going to be investigating some of these deep, weighty prayers that we see in the pages of Scripture. Sometimes when we hear the word profound, we think, well, that just means frilly and wordy and a bunch of eloquence, big words, lots of letters. But when I think of something being profound, I think of it just having like a mass, a gravity to it. It's hefty. There's something there that you're just like, that's powerful, that connects with me. It's not trite. It's not just religious nuance or over-the-top rhetoric. When it's a profound prayer, even though the words might be simple, its meaning is still deep. And the Bible is full of people calling out to God with these profound prayers, powerful words that they speak to their Creator. And then the response is that they receive this life-changing answer to these prayers. My hope as we delve into this series is that it's going to give you some fresh ideas on how you can connect with God in your own prayer life. Not to try to stir up some sort of special incantation, like, well, if I just say these words like they were said over here, then like rubbing a genie's bottle, God will have to grant that wish. That's not what this series is all about, but it's to show us the various ways that people prayed and what they prayed for that maybe you've never thought of asking God for. So hopefully we're going to learn as we see how others have modeled these significant and important prayers recorded for us in Scripture. Today, we're going to be looking at how a prayer of blessing. And through this message, I realized as I was preparing for it that we throw this word bless around a lot in our culture. It's a religious word, but we use it in a lot of different ways. It's almost a hard word to nail down. When you think about the common ways we use it in our culture, when somebody sneezes, we say, God bless you. And a lot of people shorten it just to bless you. But the question is, when somebody sneezes and somebody else without thinking just goes, bless you, are they actually praying any kind of a prayer or having any kind of a wish of blessing? Or is it just second nature? It just comes right out of your mouth when you hear a sneeze. And then we also talk about blessing the meal. And at that point, when we say, well, would somebody like to bless the meal? Are you praying for favor on the food? Or is the food to get the same blessing as the sneezer? You know, these two things don't really match together. Or in the South, it's really popular to say, bless your heart, bless his heart. And sometimes it's actually sincere, and they wish for you something good. Oftentimes, it's actually like a backhanded insult that you're kind of like, oh, bless their heart. Like, I feel sorry for you. I pity you. Oh, bless your heart. You honestly don't even want to hear it from people. Like, it's used in a negative way. And I can't go forward without talking about God bless America. I mean, that's just, it's boilerplate. If you are the president, you cannot give a big speech without ending it with God bless America, regardless of what your feelings on God is, or any faith that you have. It's just something that you have to say, because if you don't say it, people would deem you as being un-American. So we've got all these uses of this word, some in kind of a religious sense, most of them not. What does it actually mean to be a blessing or to bless somebody? It actually conveys a lot of meanings. I looked up in the dictionary, Merriam-Webster, that's my go-to. It's got these five different meanings, and they all kind of show why we don't have clarity on this word. First, to consecrate, that's a big word for it, to set apart by religious rite or word. Number two, to invoke divine care for. Number three, to praise or glorify. Number four, to confer prosperity or happiness upon. And finally, to endow or show favor. When you look through the Bible, nearly all of these uses actually show up in Scripture, and that they should. The word bless, blessed, blessing, shows up 427 times in the NIV Bible. That's why Christians talk about blessing so often, because it's all over the pages of our Bible. Now, with all that said, I want to simplify a little bit of what it means for something to be blessed, okay? And there's really two forms of this blessed that we see. The first is when the object is God, it's a word carrying the sense of to worship or praise. If you could jump to that next slide, please. So if the object is God, if we are blessing God, just like we sang in that last song, bless the Lord, O my soul. We are saying, praise God, we worship God, our adoration is toward God. That's when we use blessing language towards our Maker. When the blessing comes down towards humanity, it's that we are going to receive favor. It carries this sense of receiving favor or benefits, sometimes physical, sometimes spiritual. Often from God, but sometimes it's from other people. Like when you bring a meal to somebody who's just had a surgery, you're blessing that person by bringing them a food so they don't have to cook. God blesses us sometimes with physical things, but sometimes our greatest blessing we have to recognize is our salvation and the confidence in knowing that we're going to have an eternity spent with God. Now that our English lesson is all done, we're going to jump into our passage. So I encourage you to grab a Bible and open it to Numbers chapter 6. So Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible, and it actually describes what happens to the Israelites during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And the reason that it's called Numbers is because at the very beginning of the book of Numbers, they take a census and they have a count for all the tribes of Israel. And then at the end of the book of Numbers, 40 years have elapsed, and they take a second census of all the tribes of Israel. And the interesting thing here is that none of the people counted in the second, or none of the people counted in the first census are alive for the second census, because God had said that nobody over the age of 20 years old was going to enter into the promised land. So 40 years later, in that second census, it's an entirely different group of fighting men who are being counted in that census. So the book of Numbers, loaded with numbers. That's where it gets its name. In the middle here, in Numbers chapter 6, we have this interesting piece where God is kind of giving some instruction to Aaron. And this is what he says. Beginning in verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. This is a famous passage. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. Here's a cool archaeological fact. This is actually the oldest full passage of Scripture that we have physical copy of. It was found in 1979 while they're in a digging expedition in the old city of Jerusalem, when they unearthed these two small silver scrolls. When rolled up, they're about the size of a cigarette. It said, the bigger scroll on the left contains all of this prayer. The smaller one on the right contains just a shortened version of the second two lines, the grace and the peace portion. And they're dated all the way back to the 6th or 7th century BC. So those are 2,600 years old. And what they show us, of 6th or 7th century BC is still hundreds of years after God gave this prayer to Moses, Aaron, and Aaron's sons. It shows that this prayer was significant in the lives of the Israelites, that it was carried forward for hundreds of years and was buried with somebody in this basically a grave area that they found in this digging expedition. With all that said, let's now step through this prayer. So first, we have to remember that this is a prayer that God gave to Moses to teach to Aaron and his sons as a blessing over the people. So Moses didn't make this prayer up. God told Moses, have them pray like this. It's a lot like how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, but we're going to get to that next week. But think about this for a moment. God wants the Israelites to pray like this. He's saying, this isn't selfish of you to ask for a blessing. This isn't selfish of you to seek peace and to seek my gracious gifts. This is what I want you to ask of me. This is how I want you to come before me. I want you to seek my face. I want you to seek my presence. I want you to seek my blessings. This isn't just man making up a selfish prayer. These words that we're going to dig into are God saying, this is how you should pray this blessing over the people. And then the prayer itself begins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The prayer begins with clarity about who is going to do the blessing. The Lord. That word is Yahweh. It's God's name. They never even put the vowels in it because it was too holy to write the full name. But God is making sure, I don't want you to live a life where some things go well and you go, well, I sure was lucky today. That was a great coincidence. Oh, I sure did do something great to achieve that. He says, no. The Lord will bless you. He wants everybody to recognize when those good gifts come into their life, it is not by happenstance. It is because the hand of God has intervened and graciously given that to them. It's this important name for God and saying, it's me who's doing it. And when it says that he will bless you, it points to God granting the Israelites this divine favor. That's the blessing to humanity. It's this divine favor. And throughout the book of Numbers, we see it unfold for the people. When they're thirsty, water appears out of rock. When they're hungry, food comes down from the sky. When they face enemies, they simply march through and God does the fighting for them in Jericho. God provides everything that they need. Good health, long life, protection from enemies, and God's abiding presence through it all. That's what God always wanted to provide for his people then and today. And then it says, and keep you. That points to the strong arm of God who would protect them. Even as they traveled through the wilderness, even as they marched into the promised land that was filled with other nations for them to just take over. And God said, no, I'll keep you. I will protect you. I will watch over you. The next part of the prayer, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The language of God's face shining appears in numerous Bible passages as well as other religious texts of Near Eastern religions of the time. This imagery is the functional equivalent of saying that God is smiling on them. It's the majestic smile of God upon the community of faith as he demonstrates his approval and pleasure of this, his people. And then the result of God's smiling approval on the people is that he would be gracious to them. And if you don't know what this word grace means, it's when somebody who has power and authority gives something to somebody who is an inferior that they did not earn or deserve, just out of the kindness of their heart. And so clearly God, when he gives us anything, because we can't earn it from him, it's because of his gracious kindness, his benevolence towards us. Perhaps you can relate with this kindness or this imagery of a face shining when you think about a parent at their son or daughter's graduation. We use this phrase as they walk across to receive their diploma. You know, we say that the parent's face was beaming with pride, that they just had this look of such joy and approval for what their child has just accomplished. And that's kind of this imagery that we see here in Scripture, that God's face is shining on us with approval, love, acceptance, joy for who we are in being his people. The final part of the prayer, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Whereas shining refers to the look of approval on God's face, to lift up one's eyes or lift up one's face means to pay attention. So in this final piece of the prayer, it is for God to put his attention on his people and provide for them his perfect peace. And this is easier said than done. We're on the front end of them about to go 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. There are a lot of challenges that they face. There's going to be a lot of battles that they have to fight. And yet God is still saying that he wants them to pray. Pray for my attention on you. Pray for my peace on you. He wants them to have this perfect sense of well-being. Over all these decades of trials and difficulties, he's saying, you can still have peace. It may not be a peace like the world expects, but they can have well-being and healthy relationships and a worry-free life if they just put their trust in him and not worry about everything for themselves. That's ultimately God's plan for his people. That's why he tells Moses, make this your prayer over the people. Have Aaron and his sons, they're the priests, the very first set of priests, pray this over the people, because God wants us to receive that peace every day, no matter what circumstances that we're facing. And after this prayer, it ends with God saying, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. He's bringing it back to this reminder. When they receive good things, I'm the one who did it. Not only that, but I want all the nations in the land to recognize these are my people. These Israelites have my name, Yahweh, marking them. And you know them because of my blessings. You know the stories that you've heard, is what God is saying. These other nations had heard about how they survived in the wilderness, how the food was provided to them from heaven, how they were able to just march right through towns and capture them and plunder them. And the other nations were absolutely terrified of the Israelites because they knew that these people were God's people, that they'd been receiving his blessings. Now, isn't this a beautiful prayer of blessing, where God shows the Israelite that his heart is always for them? His heart is always for their good. Even when their journey gets difficult, this prayer of blessing demonstrates his desire is that he wants the best for them. However, the ultimate promise of complete and eternal prosperity, peace, and wholeness is yet to come. We know as we read through the Old Testament, they didn't experience perfect peace. They had a lot of ups and downs. They had a lot of difficulty. They ended up being conquered. And then by the time we get to where Jesus shows up on the scene, the Romans are ruling over the Israelites. And through all of history, they've been scattered. Where is this perfect peace? Ultimately, we know that that peace comes when Jesus returns to this earth. That's what we see through all the pages of Scripture. That's been God's plan from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 12, when God shows up to Abram and says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations. It wasn't just so that the Israelites could have a really easy life, and then they could tell the other nations, hey, look how great our lives are. It was because God had a plan to bring salvation to all of humanity through Abram's descendants, ultimately through Jesus Christ, who walked this earth, who died on the cross, and made a way for us to become God's sons and daughters. That's the blessing that we're all invited to participate in. That's what Psalm 67 is getting at. It uses language very similar to this priestly blessing that we've just seen, but then it connects it back to God's promise to Abram. In Psalm 67, verse 1 and 2, it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Obviously, this language was very regular for the Israelites to be using. Verse 2, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. God's blessing on the Israelites was ultimately to bring this blessing to all of us as God moved his redemptive plan forward in giving us Jesus. Unfortunately, We can't end this message yet right here on God's blessing as we looked at Numbers chapter 6. There's one important condition to this blessing that we have to look at. Right before the Israelites prepared to enter into the promised land, in the book right after Numbers called Deuteronomy, God reiterates his promise to bless the people as they enter into this land he promised Abram over 450 years earlier. Remember, God's a God we can count on. Might not be on our timeline. They probably didn't expect it to be a 450-year wait, but he was bringing them in. And right before they're about to launch off into this land, he reiterates this blessing, but he adds two really big words that are just short little letters, and that's the word if. This is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So all these incredible blessings are theirs if they obey. In this covenant that God has with them, when he makes a covenant with Abram, he makes it very clear. He will uphold the covenant. He takes on both sides of this promise. However, all the abundance, all the good things, all the favor that he wants for them, all the peace and the gracious gifts, it's contingent on them being obedient. Like, why would he, if they walked into the promised land and they started putting all their attention on these fake gods of the other nations, why would he be like, oh, I'll give you all these extra blessings so you can attribute it to them? He wouldn't. Remember, God is a jealous God. So he's not going to show favor on people who are not giving him the honor that he deserves. And while we're not Old Testament Jews today, but we are instead New Testament Christians living in the covenant of grace, we have to see that this principle of receiving God's blessing when we walk in obedience still applies to us today. And now, when I say it's a principle, we have to understand what a principle means. It means overarching, more often than not, this is true. However, it is not a promise that holds true 100% of the time for every single person. There's no guarantee that every one of us will have an easy life if we obey God. However, on the whole, those who trust God and for their obedience or for their wellness and for their peace, those who choose not to disobey, who are not selfish, are not angry, are not uncontrolled people, they're less likely to struggle with the difficulties of the world living for themselves. So, when God says, follow these set of rules, we're more likely to receive the blessings that God wants for us because that's the way to experience an abundant life. He lays it out for us. Plus, how you perceive God's blessings in your life is more up to you and your perception than it's up to God. As I was thinking about this, there are some people, maybe you've met them, God could give them literally everything, and yet they would find something to complain about. And they would say, God hasn't blessed me with anything. And it's not because God hasn't done anything good for their lives. It's because they can't see it. Because they're selfish or they attribute it to other things. And yet there are other faithful Christians who you know have had a life of hardship, difficulty, and grief. And yet those people see every little thing as coming straight from the hand of God for them. And so really, how we see our lives as being one that's been blessed or not blessed isn't necessarily about how much God has done for you. It's about how much you recognize that those things have come from God. And so here's the honest truth that we have to recognize. We have to believe that God wants to bless each and every one of you. Do you believe that? That this prayer that God taught to Moses and said, teach this to Aaron and his children. I want you asking for my blessing. He wants that from us today as well. God wants to bless you. He wants you to receive good things in life. He wants you to live at peace with your neighbors and your coworkers and your family members. He wants you to have health. That's why we pray and we ask God when we don't have health. We say, God, restore in my body. And it doesn't always go exactly as it's planned. But we see in this modeled prayer that this is what God instructs us to pray for and to ask him for. He wants to bless every single one of us who carry his name with us, that we are Yahweh's. Then, as a result of receiving these blessings from God, our response is to turn around and bless God. He blesses us with his favor. We bless him with adoration and worship and thankful hearts. If you recall from the beginning, to bless God means to worship or praise God, and that's our job. He blesses us, we turn around, and we bless him. Here's where I want to end this today. Many of you know exactly how I end every single service, because I end with the exact same benediction. May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as you go from here today. Do you guys notice the parallelism between the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we see in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22? I haven't been quoting Numbers, I've been quoting Paul. But Paul used this frequently, used this language of grace and peace to you through many of his letters. That shorter amulet that we saw, it contains the two portions of Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 26, that are grace and peace. Basically, Paul just did shorthand of this blessing that came directly from God for his people. And it makes me realize, when I end the service and I just mumble out that word, those words, it's more than me just following the words of Paul, but it's me praying the blessing that God wants prayed over his people and has wanted prayed over his people for almost 3,000 years now. And so I know for me, this makes this blessing, this benediction that I convey every single Sunday that much more powerful. I hope for you, you recognize it's not just boilerplate, oh, finally, Ryan's done. This is how we know he's done talking. But that you receive the blessing that God has for you. It's the blessing God wants for every one of his children to receive every time we gather. That we would receive God's grace and his peace in our lives. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?